Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is the Church Girl, and I want to take a moment out to invite you to tune in to my new show, True Confessions of the Soul, starting at 7 p.m. Sundays after church. True Confessions of the Soul is a new show dedicated to love, Christian dating, relationships, and great gospel music. Join us for inspiring conversations and, yes, those true confessions of the soul, right here on the Love Zone USA.
All right. Hello, hello, everyone. I know we're doing a live. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to True Confessions of the Soul with a Church Girl here. And I have a very special guest on the line with me today. And I'm not going to tell you who he is, but he is a very special guest. And I'm hoping he's still connected. Today is Memorial Day. Hey, can you hear me back?
I sure can.
Uh-oh, he hears me, y'all. I was trying to put him on hold, but anyway, today is a great day, of course, because this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, this is the day. Okay, so y'all had that going on today, I hope, and as you already know, Memorial Day is today. We're going back to the graves and the cemeteries, and we're remembering lost loved ones of, you know, a lot of veterans out there and a lot of, you know, memorial moments going on right now. So I would like to, you know, give my condolences out to those who are mourning and remembering those very special loved ones during this great and wonderful holiday. Okay, so we have a live show. So that means you can call and talk to me. So let me give you the phone number you can call in, which is 347-539-5729, and you can call and you can talk to me, because today is going to be a little bit unusual. I decided to get someone to help me out here, and his name is Robert Watson, and he's from ATL, and Mr. Watson, Pastor Watson, Minister Watson, I'm going to call you a whole bunch of stuff. You better stop me. My significant
right
other, my milk and my cereal, my fruit and my loop. Don't make me go all the way. You got to stop me. And
go all the way.
I want to say, how you doing today?
I'm just fine, and thank you, Church Girl Laura. And my heart echoes the same sentiment. The milk in my fruit loops and my Cheerios. And I just want to say hello to the listening audience, and I'm just real grateful to be participating this evening.
Well, thank you for, you know, helping me out, because, you know, everyone is out. You know, it's a holiday, so it's the first, like, summer holiday. This tells us that summer is here. I know people say 4th of July, but no. Memorial Day lets everybody know it's okay to put the grills out and to go ahead and get the food ready, because we about to turn up in here, as they may say it, right? So today, our show is going to be about communication barriers, right? And I wanted to call in an expert, and I'm going to call him an expert for right now, because he's always the one trying to communicate, you know, to me, and we're trying to communicate each other. And so I thought it would be a great opportunity for the listening audience to see how communication works one-on-one. And he's going to tell you some things that I hope he don't say everything about how I communicate so greatly and so annoying. I'm the best communicator in the world, believe it or not. Did you just clear your throat? And he's going to tell you how great I communicate. Yes. As saved and sanctified and holy as I am. I am the master of communication, right, Bay?
Absolutely. As Dougie Fresh would say, let me clear my throat.
You is terrible. So to everyone out there, come on into my living room because I'm going to share this personal moment, and we're going to talk about communication.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to let you take the floor, Mr. Watson, because I don't know where you want to go because, you know, I just go straight in. So
yeah.
What do you think is the communication barrier that you see in relationship? Let's just, I don't put mine out there. I mean, we here. So what do you think?
Well,
and what have you have experience in? What's the communication barrier? Let's just go ahead and jump in.
Well, if we're talking male and female, what I've discovered in my travels, the biggest hindrance to communicating is, you know, folks trying to convey their ideas and to push their will on the other individual without really understanding where they come from, their perspective, their history, those things that make them tick. And you really got to know a person. You got to know those things that make them happy, those things that make them smile, those things that make them upset. You know, those are the elements in order to communicate with an individual. You got to know those things. And you got to be a good listener. Most of the time, folks just want to, you know, put their view out there, and they're more interested in winning whatever discussion
I got to make my point.
Disagreement. Yeah, they're more interested in winning.
I'm going to win this conversation.
Learning. Sure, yeah.
Right.
And so they're more interested in winning than learning. And whenever you have some communication time, if there's been some feathers ruffled or anything like that, that's an opportunity to learn. And you got to put on your listening ears. You know, after you put on those listening ears, you might learn something about that individual so that you can avoid any kind of high-octane, you know, tension-filled moments, you know, going forward. So I think all those things play a role in being a good communicator and just ensuring that those barriers, those things that will hinder us from learning more about our significant other, those things that might stand in the way.
Very well said. I just want to add that one of the things I see in communication is a lot of times people say, oh, you're not communicating means you stop talking and I start listening or vice versa. But one of the other things that I notice is if I'm talking and you're not understanding, even though you're listening, you need to have some understanding about what that person is referencing or what or how they're feeling. There's more to communication than just listening, and I'm just learning that part because if I don't understand what you're saying, I'm listening to you, but it don't mean nothing because I'm like, well, oh, well, I finished listening. You know, you done communicated. It didn't mean nothing to me. I didn't understand what you were saying. Now let me go back to my point. And so I noticed that understanding each other, like the Bible talks about, and I'm going to pull that scripture up about learning how to abide husbands with your wives in understanding, learning how to understand them with the knowledge of who they are and how they react to certain things. So what you got to say about that?
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right, and it really goes back to the comment that I made earlier. If we're more vested in our own opinion and enforcing our own will on the other individual, then we're not listening to what they're saying, and we're not validating what they're saying. Everyone wants to be validated. They want to be heard. And you can't be broadcasting and tuning in at the same time. Back to what you said, you know, you have to hear and you have to understand.
Hear and understand.
Because if I don't have those two things going on, then we're going to have this same discussion again and again and again and again. But if I hear what you're saying and I demonstrate that I've heard what you said by governing myself accordingly, if it's something that I did, then make sure that I don't do it anymore, or if it's something that I need to do, make sure that I do it going forward. You know, that demonstrates to you that hey, listen, I heard what you said, and I'm going to do what I need to do in order to make this situation as best as possible.
Amen. And with that being said, I'm going to pause. I'm going to try to pause to get some Al Green for y'all.
Ooh, Al Green.
Yeah, let's stay together, okay?
I like the sound of that.
And we're going to pause right here, but we're going to come back, and I want to bring up the touchy subject of communication, which is the hurt. When that person got a hurt there and you don't know that hurt is there and you're trying to communicate and there's a hurt there and how that affects communication. So I'm going to try to do this. I'm doing my own engineering, so y'all pray for a sister. Everyone's on vacation. They have to cook out and they left a sister up in here by herself. But I'm going to do this. So you're listening to True Confessions with a Church Girl, and my special, special dear guest, Mr. Robert Watson, is here. So I'm going to try to do this, and I don't think it's going to let me do it. But if it doesn't, this is what I want to do next. Robert, tell me,
yes,
while I'm playing with this, tell me, how do you see hurts and how does it affect communication?
That's a good question. Hurt goes back as far as our childhood and, you know, the different influences and things that we saw as we were growing up that we carry on into adolescent and then preteen and into our teen and young adult years. And we tend to visit our the person that's special in our life with that history. And when that happens, sometimes those can be pleasant memories. Sometimes those can be not so pleasant. But it kind of reminds me of the condition during wartime when a person has those, I don't know, what do you call it, when they have the flashbacks.
Shell shock,
yeah.
What do they call it? It's another name. They got another name. I can't think of it. And they diagnosed this as an illness, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
I forgot what they call it. It'll come to me, but go ahead. We know what you're saying.
Yeah, the name escapes me right now. But what happens, there can be certain triggers that a person may do, and they may be aware and just simply pushing buttons, or they may not even be aware because you may not have shared with them about some of the things that you've gone through or lived through or experienced, you know, either with the previous relationship or growing up as a child or something like that. And that can cause a lot of problems in a relationship, because what happens is you visit the new relationship with those things in the past, and I call it, you know, walking through a minefield. If you've ever been in a situation where you've been in a relationship with someone, and you never knew whether you're going to say the right thing or going to do the right thing, and you're just kind of walking around thinking, oh boy, if I put my foot here, this is what's going to happen. So it's tough, you know, living with someone, dating someone, or, you know, just sitting down trying to have a meal with someone when you don't know what you might say that might set them off. And so you understand what I'm saying?
That's a good way to express it. Also, I remember when we were talking and you made the analogy of sometimes you can be hurt. Like for me, when I look at, you don't realize when you're communicating with the other person, and it's a hurt area.
Yes.
And when it's a hurt area, you don't know it until you cross it. And,
exactly.
And when you cross it, you get this, you know, this overwhelming response. That's how you know you just hit that mine. And
mm-hmm.
It's a hurt. And they may lash out, like, with a whole bunch of other words. Or they may lash out with, you know, they might get really quiet, or they may... You know, you just don't know. I can't even begin to express what can happen when you hit one of those mines. But the thing is, I believe, is when you're in a relationship and you're trying to communicate and you want to communicate effectively, you need to address your sore spots and say, look, after I'm finished telling you where to go and how to get there, Let me come back. Let me come back to myself and realize and tell you why I responded that way. Ladies, we got a tendency, when we mad, we mad. You can't say nothing to us. You can't reason with us. So sometimes it's good to go into the silent mode and just say, there's a hurt spot here that I'm picking up and see where it's at. And then go back and say, okay, I noticed something about you or I noticed something about me, you know. When I'm so used to being around people and when they say this and what I used to, you know, come through and go through or my last relationship, this is what they did to me, you know. And a lot of times it's those last relationships that we still hold on to so much damage. And we don't realize it because we think, oh, he's out the picture. I ain't got to deal with that no more. Hallelujah. Well, you don't have to deal with it, but you got some battle scars. And those scars will show up when someone new crossed that line because it's going to be like a flashback. You know, it's going, you're going to go right back to how it felt when it happened, and you're going to start reacting the same way unless you catch yourself. Or the other person said, hey, did you notice, did something happen here or whatever? And I'm going to go back to you, Bae. You said, okay, you gave a good illustration of that when you said it feels like the, you know, the abused man or woman, when they were abused and they in, you know, they sitting on the sofa and the other, you know, they're in a new relationship, everything's new. And what did you say, the guy or
whoever? What would happen is you'd be in a different relationship, and the previous relationship may have been physically abusive, but you're in a new relationship now, and this person wouldn't dream of couldn't even imagine a situation where they would abuse you mentally or physically. You may be sitting on the sofa next to this person, and they may reach for the remote, and that person who has been in an abusive situation would throw their hands up and cover their face because they're used to or accustomed to being smacked around, and they're always on guard. And even when they're smiling and laughing and having a good time, they're only a second away from just, you know, from that flashback when they were abused. And those are the subtle kind of ways that a previous relationship will impact the new relationship going forward. You know, because I don't know about a lot of guys, but, you know, some of the guys that I've spoken to who've been in a relationship with someone who has been abused in the past, they're a little leery of trying to move forward because they don't know what's down the road or whether that situation might get worse, you know, with time, because it really tells them and demonstrates to them that this person didn't take enough time off between relationships before they brought someone else into the picture. And I think it's important.
That's true.
Yes, I think it's important if you've been in a long-term relationship that wasn't necessarily abusive, but it found itself running its course and you guys decided to just go separate ways, I think there should be a cooling-off period before you interject someone else into a new relationship.
True.
Yeah, but you find people that, you know, so often, right away, they want to stop the bleeding, and so that means bringing someone else in, and they really haven't healed yet. And, they you know, they still have the smell of the person on them. And
wow.
It's not fair to the new person going forward to just be
door. It's like a spare tire, you know.
Absolutely.
And,
spare tire.
And a lot
great
of people
analogy.
Say it's called, oh, you on the rebound. But the thing is,
yeah,
when
a
people
lot of names
get
for it, but that's it.
Yeah, and when people get hurt, this is what society says. And I know, ladies,
yeah,
you heard it because I heard it, okay? And if I heard it, I just assume everybody heard it. Because I'm a church girl, and I'm the last one that's supposed to be hearing this stuff. But anyway, you know, they say, the best way to get over one man is to what, ladies? get under a new one. And that is just the most raunchiest analogy as a woman that another woman can share with another woman. But this is a true statement. This is how we are told to get over someone. And I don't know how it is, babe, with the fellas, how y'all deal with getting over. But the women.
They call it, if you're not with the one you love, love the one you're with. Yeah, I've heard that one before.
Exactly. You know, so, and that doesn't work because the person you're engaging with has no clue that you're hurt because you're going to put on the image that, hey, it's all good over here, you know, and you just, you know, you still hurt and you know you still licking your wounds, but now you're going to bring somebody else in. And as the old saying goes, hurt people hurt people. And now you're going to hurt someone else. You know why? Because you got all this damage. You don't have closure. There is no understanding of why you hurt. There's no understanding of why he left, ladies. There's no understanding of why he cheated. I don't have understanding of why he did what he did, right? And so now we go into the next relationship, and now we're trying to communicate.
Sure.
And so what's going to be a part of that communication? That hurt is going to come forth if it was never dealt with. And if it's not fully healed, it's going to come forth. And when it does, it's not pretty. It's not pretty. And it's not fair to the other person. I know I hear, and I used to have guys tell me this all the time, because I was one sustaining from personal relationships, and I kept everybody business. You can be on a business ship with me, but you couldn't be in a relationship with me. And the first thing they said was, who hurt you? You know, he did. You can't make everybody pay for what he did. And I said, how you know somebody hurt me? What makes you think you paying for, how can you possibly pay for what somebody else did? But the truth was, they were. I was making everybody pay for whatever the last person did. I'm like, okay, look, I ain't going down that road no more because the last person who said this and did that, you know, they weren't truthful to their word. So now I ain't never taking nobody's word there.
Hmm.
Right? Isn't that how it go? And we are we telling the truth here, or are we playing with this thing today? And so for me, you know, we have to identify. You have to keep, I always say, and I can't express enough, self-evaluation. You got to look at yourself. What did I not deal with, and what walls do I have already up and established? Now, I'm talking about an established wall is a wall that's justified, it's been tried, and justified, okay? That wall is up there. I don't do this, and I don't do that, and don't matter what nobody say, they ain't tearing that wall down. You know how we have that? But you know what we call it? Standards. Well, I got my standards. And some of our hurts, we put in on the standard wall, where we say, what's a good standard? A good standard is, if he ain't got no job, he can't call or talk to me. That's a good standard. But there's also a standard where you may slide under there that says, well, if he ever call me out my name, he can forget it. I ain't going to forget, give him another chance or nothing. Okay? And you put that up there on the wall too. Well, what I'm realizing, and it's a true fact, relationships are not built on a wall. And so if you plan on having a successful one, you're going to have to get rid of the wall. Amen?
Amen.
He done got quiet. Am I in your living room? Am I talking to you?
You are talking to me.
I know, that's right.
You made it very plain. You made it very plain.
Yeah, and it's just sad because we're trying to get it right. Everybody wants to be in love. True? Is that a true statement, you think?
Very true.
And everybody want to be happy in love. True?
Everybody wants to be happy in love.
And everybody want to be happy in love and financially stable. True?
Absolutely true. All
let me
of
go.
The above.
Look, let me keep going. And everybody want to be happy, love, financially stable, and they want the other person to be faithful and loyal to them. That's major.
Yeah. Not exactly in that order, but
right.
All of the above was absolutely correct. Absolutely correct.
That's true. So now let's give a true confession.
Uh-oh. Is that what time it is?
This show is
true
not
confession.
Over. No, this is
we got to
give
confession
a true confession. What?
I ain't confessing to that.
Oh, come on. You got to have a confession, you know. We all have confessions, and that's what's the unique part and the fun part of this show is that we all have a confession that we can share. And I wish I could put this Al Green on, and I cannot get it to play. It's driving me nuts, but I'm going to leave it alone before it messes my whole show up. But true confessions basically is an opportunity for, now that you've heard us talk, and it's an opportunity, I need to tell everybody because I don't spend enough time doing this. If you have a true confession and you want us to discuss it or to bring it on the air, if you want to write it, and I'll put myself, I usually put myself as a, I hope people don't think I got a whole bunch of issues, because a lot of times when I get these true confessions, I make it about me. I try to, you know, because I don't want them to signify or everybody gets hints of who it is or whatever. But if you have a true confession, you can certainly email me at trueconfessionradio@gmail.com. Or you can go to my True Confession Radio page on Facebook, and you can say, hey, I need that email address again. I want to write you a true confession letter. Or, you know, just hit me up. Just say, hey, girl, I listen to your show. Everything sound good. So with that being said, did you think of your true confession?
Well, you know, I kind of want you to go first. That way I can see where we're going with this true confession.
Put me in the fire first.
I don't want to come up with my confession, and you said, "Ooh, I can't believe you went there." So let's see where you're
okay.
going to go, and then I
let's
know how to gauge
okay.
my confession.
Okay. All right. Fine. We're gonna do this together. Okay.
Okay.
We have a true
okay.
confession, everyone. We, as in me and he and she, right? Like he likes
yes.
to say it.
Yes.
We have a true confession, right? Now, we just, the reason why we're talking about communications is what happened today. We had a communication meltdown, didn't we?
Yes.
Yes, we did.
Yes. Yeah, you know, it doesn't happen often, but
it don't
we
happen,
definitely
but this one
had
was
one.
A bad one. Because I
yeah.
was like, oh, my God, my feelings was hurt. And a lot
yeah.
of times when you have a communication breakdown, meltdown, where you're not communicating, and it's more so not that you're not communicating, it's just that y'all are not understanding each other. He's from Mars and you're from Venus, or
yeah.
vice versa. But we had a communication issue, and it was really stupid. I mean, it ain't stupid, but it was really kind of like it shouldn't have been what it was, if that makes sense. And
it went there.
You went there.
It went there. Yeah.
Okay.
No, not
yeah.
not me. Not I went there. It went there.
and who is talking it?
It took on a life all of its own. It was like the third person.
You was terrible. You see what I mean? Ownership. That's another part of communication. You have to have own. You have to own your communication. Whatever you did and said.
I don't know who that person. I don't know who that person was.
I
sat back and I said to myself, I can't believe he said that.
You know what? Who said that? Did I just say that?
Was I thinking that, or did I actually say that? But yeah, I actually said that.
And you know, communication is yeah, you do have to have ownership
yes.
of what's coming out of your mouth, even if it's in the heat of the moment or it's purposely whatever it is. You have to have ownership, even though you didn't mean it. Right. So what was you going to say?
Right.
You were going to say something before I cut you off. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, there has to be rules. Whenever you get in a heated discussion and you just kind of are polar opposites as far as your opinion is concerned on whatever you're discussing. You have to have certain rules in place so that things don't get out of hand. And one of my rules is, you know, we both aren't going to argue at the same time. If you're going to argue, then I'm going to listen, because by listening, I'm going to learn something. And if I'm being voiceless and trying to you know, explain how I didn't appreciate how something unfolded, or trying to get you to understand my point of view, then I don't want the pushback. I want to be able to convey my idea so that you're telling me, I hear what you're saying. I hear it. But what happens too often is it turns into a tennis match. When one person, he hits the ball in the other court, and the other person hits the ball in the other court, and you're not really listening to each other, and you're not gaining anything as a result of this exercise. And you get to that point to where you think you know what this individual is getting ready to say, so you've tuned out everything else, and all you're concentrating on is your response. And when a person, anyone, feels that they're not being heard, it's then that it escalates and gets to another level wherein now all you're interested in is, okay, I got it one up. I got it one up because I just want to survive this conversation, and I want to get out of this conversation with a sense of pride and dignity, and with my shirt on my back, you know, that kind of thing. But once a discussion has lowered itself to that level, it serves no purpose. Yeah, you may as well just go ahead on and just, you know, close your mouth and just let it just naturally, you know, burn itself out.
True.
You know, that's what happens with the fire. If you stop stoking it, it'll burn itself out. But if you keep putting wood on there and keep turning wood over, it'll burn forever. And what happens when the fire gets started and it burns forever? You know, we've seen what happens with these forest fires. You know, before you know it, you know, folks have lost their homes and cars and their lives, you know, because of a cigarette, something as simple as someone tossing a cigarette out there. And, you know, a very small spark can start, you know, hundreds of thousands of acres on fire. So, you know, that being said, you got to have rules in place so that it doesn't get to that point. But the goal is not to reduce a conversation to yelling and calling each other names.
Yeah, definitely.
Kind of
the name calling is definitely
name calling.
Tells you
yeah.
You're at the low end of the stick.
Yeah.
When you start
yes.
saying you are complete,
yeah.
And I can't say the words, and you start, you know, and even if you're not saying it, ladies and gentlemen, if you're thinking it, it's a matter of time before it's coming out your mouth. And so that would be definitely the dead zone, I call it, when you're ready to call somebody a name. You're like, okay, well, bump this relationship. It's old. You know, that's when you're there. And the goal is not to get to that zone. I mean, we all have good communications and we all have bad communications. The goal is to live to see another day through the bad communication. That's
Absolutely.
The goal, right? Would
Absolutely.
You say that's the goal, Beth?
That's the goal, and the last thing you want is to your significant other, you know, reduce them to tears or so that they're seeing red, or the analogy I like to use is, you know, have them limping away, you know, cowering in a corner, you know, because their feelings are hurt, they're exhausted because they've been, you know, defending themselves or, you know, defending their position for the last hour, however long you guys have been going at it. But especially, you know, that applies to anyone, but especially when you say that you're a Christian. When you say that you're
go.
A Christian,
mm-hmm.
you know,
self-control.
You have to exercise self-control. And, we say, well, you know, I went there. We can't go there because what has to happen is, you know, we're in a position where we can either lift up and we can tear down. And when we use words to lift up, you know, everyone's richer as a result of that. But when we use words to tear down, we say things that we just simply can't take back. I mean, we may be able to get past it, but then there's that awkwardness that takes place. And, you know, no one wants to walk around with that awkward kind of feeling, especially when you when you love someone and you care about them, you know, you want to be operating as one.
Amen.
You
well
understand
said.
What I'm saying, Sister Laura?
Well said. Yes. Well said. You definitely want to be operating as one. Now,
sure.
We spent a good deal of talking about how to communicate, the barriers, the hurt, and everything that comes with communicating and what you're going to come across. So what happens now? Here's the part that people really can't get over. You paint, like you say, Mr. Watson. I keep calling him Bay. I keep forgetting that we ain't on our personal call here. I'm like, hey, Bay. You always say you paint yourself in a corner. And
yes.
Our words exactly. When you are not communicating effectively and it is really
yes.
going down really quick, you're down to the name calling, you're down
yes.
to she's talking and you're putting the phone down, or you're fumbling in the kitchen because you really ain't trying to hear nothing they say. You're just trying to wait till they shut up so you can get your part in. So
All the above.
And
yes.
finally, you've been through this fight with each other, and it's like exhausting. So you get to a troops. Okay, I'm going in my corner. Don't call me. You going in your corner? Don't call me. Okay, that's how I usually end. Or somebody's going to slam the phone down eventually, and that's usually I ain't going to say nothing else. But anyway, so what happens is we are all human. We all have these emotions, but we have to live through them. And we cannot let our emotions dictate our decisions because your emotions change all the time. But the decision you make, you will live with.
Absolutely. Well said.
So
Absolutely.
Now we're going to talk about what happens when we paint ourselves in that corner. I done said everything. You done called the names. You done went to the name list. You done went to the path list. You done went to the X list where the X's, you know how you throw the X's in there. You done
mm-hmm.
been to the you ain't this list. You done been to the if God said this list. You done struck all the points, okay? And now you are out of bullets. And you're sitting in a corner like, and the thought is, well, I guess I made my point. But then inside it says, yeah, I guess you made your point.
Yes.
And you have that still silence, just like I did it, that makes you feel like, well, gee, I made my point, but why doesn't it feel good? Because your point might have cost you more than that point was worth. It can cost you so much mentally, emotionally, lifelongly, if you want to say that. I mean, you just tore up a relationship. Over what? So now we talk about how do you get out the corner, and I'm going to put that on you.
Well, you know, someone has to be willing to swallow their pride. And
did you say swallow your pride? Oh, my God.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
is like
yeah.
the ultimate right there. You're right.
It's not easy, especially, you know, when you've said things that it's going to be hard to rebound
mm-hmm.
from. And then, you know, you've gotten your feelings involved, and that's why I said, you know, the goal of any discussion can't be to win. It has to be to learn something so that the relationship will benefit going forward. But once you've gotten to that point and you've said things that can't be taken back and you've gone for the jugular and everybody is left bruised and bleeding and walking away limping to a neutral corner, you know, generally,
mm-hmm.
Most of the times what will happen is, you know, given some time, you think about it and you say, boy, you know, something that was so stupid, and how did things get to that point? And, you know, what can I do to rectify this? But you're more, you know, worried about the other person making the move first. And instead of, you know, just going ahead and saying, hey, listen, you know, I was boneheaded. I was callous. I said some really hurtful things, and I repent that action. Can you find it in your way to forgive me? That's one way of handling that. But what happens all too often is once you've painted yourself in that corner, the only thing left is to go ahead and issue ultimatums. Because that's what pride wants to do. Pride, you know, pride is so vested in winning, it wants to issue ultimatums. Like, if you don't do this, then the relationship is over with.
Wow.
Or if you can't make me feel this way, then I don't see a future for us. I choose myself not to take those roads, but to I want to reconcile. I want to seek the spirit of peace. I always want to learn something from any discussion that we have, wherein, you know, I may have done something to offend you. Instead of, you know, safeguarding that offense and trying to justify that offense, you know, I want to find out what I can do or what I need to do in order to ensure that that didn't ever happen again. Because at the end of the day, you're supposed to be richer for having known me and having been in a relationship with me. You shouldn't show up at the end of the day with a deficit. You should be, you know, you should be a better, more well-rounded, more community-centered person. And that's my job, is to make the best church girl possible.
Aww.
You know, better than she was yesterday. And next week she'll be better than she was last week. And on and on and on.
Oh, look how sweet. Now, y'all see why I be saying, Bay, I forget where I'm at when I talk to him. When I hear his voice, I go, oh, I forget I'm on the air. But listen, that is, you know, that is so sweet. And I truly, you know, appreciate it. I mean, I honor it, every word that you say out your mouth. And I love you all the more. And I'm not just saying it. I'm feeling it, too. Call me later. So, anyway, back to what we were saying. You know, painting yourself in a corner, and I've done it, and I have to say he is absolutely 100% right. I have learned how to, and we all learned how to do, how to break up. We all know how to break up, don't we? And
yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, I know how to walk out. You ain't seen a sister walk until you seen me walk out your life. But
lock,
you know,
the door behind you.
No, you can't. And the thing is, we have to learn how to stop breaking up. You know, we learn, we know how to, that's a learnt behavior, first of all. Let me just go on record and say, that's a learnt behavior. And we need to talk more. And the reason why I wanted my significant other to join me, and I already told y'all he was coming, and I wanted him to be on it. So you can see, it's a learnt, we have to unlearn these things, and we have to stop breaking up. Just stop it. If you want to be, single ladies, if you want somebody, stop breaking up with them and just go through it. Get off your high horse. Stop saying, well, he ain't going to do this and he ain't going to do it. Okay, we get that. We get that. But that's why we got to have that relationship with the Lord. It's so important, because when we get to our wit's end, then it's time to say, okay, Lord, hold up. Let me go before the throne. I got to go before the throne because I need to talk to you, Lord. And let God come in and give you the wisdom that is needed. And lots of times, you're going to be surprised, ladies, he's going to tell you to be quiet. And you're like, that was not the answer. That was not the answer, Lord. I was looking for. Where is the lightning bolt? God, Jesus, help me. So, you know, and that's how we feel. But don't be surprised. It is him. When you hear that one word voice or that still voice that just says do this, it's him. He's not very, you know, he don't do a lot of long paragraphs. It's all short when he speaks to me anyway. I'm not going to limit him. But it is about stopping it. Stop the bleeding, as I like to say. Stop the bleeding, okay?
Yes.
When you walk out, it's like if you cut somebody and you walk out, they're still bleeding. Even though you're gone, they're still bleeding. And somebody has to come in and stop the bleeding. You have to stop the bleeding. You're still bleeding. And a lot of us are bleeding from past hurts, past relationships, and it's time for it to stop. Stop the bleeding. And usually I don't do a prayer before we close out or anything like that because I'm always full and the show is always different. But today we're going to do a prayer for stopping the bleeding because we have a lot of relationships, you agree, that
yes.
Are bleeding and it's really from stuff that you didn't even do.
Mm.
You know, you didn't even do it. You have someone that you're probably dealing with right now that has so much hurt from what somebody else did. And you're living through it, and it's just not fair. So that person has to realize that, okay, I'm making him pay for what I went through, and now I feel this way, and he didn't make me feel this way. Somebody else made me feel this way. Now he's dealing with it, and that's not fair. Truthfully, it really isn't fair. So we have to get rid of the hurts. We got to stop giving those people who hurt us power in our life to cause us and dictate our new relationships because that's what you're doing. That person that went on and hurting somebody else probably, and you still got the memory of them in your soul, imprinted. So now every time you deal with somebody, you get a flashback of their face or a flashback of their situation that they put you in. That's too much power. I refuse to have anybody imprinted in my soul where every time somebody says something, I'm remembering them. I'm going to take up space in my mind. My mind is saved and reserved for the Holy Ghost. Call me a save as you want to, but that's what I'm trying to be. You just don't have time, you know. It's just too much, and you're never going to move forward, and you're never going to have a successful relationship with anyone. Anyone. So, with that being said, I think we did what we set out to do there.
I think so.
I think the last part we were saying about how do we get out the corner? So you were saying, just summarize that real quick.
We have to swallow our pride, and we have to be willing to take a step back and acknowledge our faults. And you know something? What I've lived long enough to, even if you don't feel that you are wrong, for peace's sake, as my grandmother would say, then you go ahead and you assume that role. Okay, listen, I don't know what I did to bring this on, but I had to have done something. But let's find out what that is so that it doesn't ever happen again. Because I never want to make you feel that way. I never want to feel that way again. So let's go ahead and make this right. At the end of the day, that's what you want. Everyone wants a successful relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And they take work, but you know what they take more than that? They take a calculated decision on your part. You know, you have to say, you know, I'm just not going to allow whatever hindrance that I may have, whatever baggage that I may have, whatever hurts that I may have, influence this relationship any further. An example of that is, you know, what I saw when I was growing up. I saw a whole lot of confusion and chaos and things that mold my way of thinking as far as the relationships were concerned. And, you know, my father had a lot of bad habits. But what I was determined was not to walk in every hole that he ever dug. And it was calculated. I had to make that decision because, you know, behavior is learned. And, you know, what I saw was these, you know, what they called the legal definition of insanity, wherein, you know, you do the same thing over and over again, but you expect a different result. And I had to say, you know, something, I don't want to go there. And even when it felt natural to go there, I had to make a calculated decision to press my will to move in a different direction. And I think that's what we have to do if we want a successful relationship. You know, even though it may seem natural and it may seem natural to do things where it's chaotic and there are a lot of different things going on and there's the bickering back and forth, you can actually will yourself not to go there and to cultivate a spirit of peace and a spirit of growth in a relationship. and leave that stuff in the past. Leave it in the past. You know, it has no place or right in your future. All it can do is leave you hurt, broke, disgusted, and lonely.
That is so true. That is so true, so true, so true. And I cannot express how true that is. And if you, a lot of times, you know, we think we're in love, but you'll know if you're in love because love endures, and that's what I truly believe. Love will endure till the end, okay? That's for sure. And
yeah.
A lot of times, you know, I'm quick. You say you love me, I'm like, okay, you ready to get out the battle already? You ready to give up? You ready to throw the towel in? And sometimes, yeah, you have to step out for a second to breathe. And then you get back in and say, okay, I have my breath now. Now, where were we? And now how do we clean this mess up? And so, truthfully, yeah, you do have to swallow your pride. You do have to compromise. You do have to listen. You have to understand. You have to understand where that person is coming from and where they came from. A lot of times we say, oh, I don't need to worry about the past. Yeah, you do. In a relationship, you need to know
yes.
if you're dealing with somebody who's been hurt and abandoned. You need to know if you're dealing with somebody who's been cheated on over and over again. That's why they act the way they do with you, okay? That's why come they asking you 50 times, where you at? When you come home? What time? Wait a minute. How long you been? What store you going to? That's where that comes from. And if someone is a violent and aggressive and that's what they come from, then that's what they're going to be with you. Every time you
yes.
turn around, they're going to be trying to knock you upside your head. That's because that's – so you have to learn – I'm not condoning domestic violence, but you do if you really love this person and they love and you really love each other, but this is an issue, y'all have to learn to communicate. Tie his hands down, girls, and say, listen, we got to talk. Tie his hands down. Look, we got to talk, babe. Let me get these handcuffs, and it ain't for nothing, you know. So you have to, you know, we have to communicate. Communication is the key, and that's what's going to break a lot of the stuff we're dealing with in relationships. And
absolutely.
With that being said, we're going to pray. Pastor, I need you to pray. And I know everybody, you know what, no one has ever heard me pray on the air on this show, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to pass that ball to my significant other because he is the man in this room, so he got to give the prayer. I gotta let you have it, babe. And
well,
I want to thank everyone for tuning in. I love you so much. I know this is a little bit unusual show, but I really wanted to share this with you because this was something that I had to deal with. And as holy as I am, I always say, and as sanctified as I am, I still mess up. And I still fall short of the glory, and I still might cuss. Did I say that? Yes, I will. I'm going to confess because I'm asking God to help me. Now, I don't curse. Like, I don't be doing them for all them other words. But I will text it, but I won't say it. So is it still a sin if you text it? So anyway, if you text it,
I don't know.
Word, I didn't say it, Lord. I just text it. So anyway, y'all continue to pray my strength in the Lord. And thank
yes.
you. I want to say thank you personally, Bay. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, absolutely. The pleasure
you know,
was all mine. Hopefully I can do it again soon.
You know you're going to be on here soon. And I'm always going to acknowledge you as the true man of God you are first and the love of my life second.
Mm-hmm.
And my dream. He's the man of my dreams, y'all. So, all right, baby, go ahead and take him out in a prayer.
Well, I'm just so grateful that we've been given this time together to speak to your loyal listeners and talk about communication. I mean, I feel that more relationships could use a nice, healthy dose of just sitting down and just chatting and getting to know one another, you know, their likes and their dislikes. But, you know, because of the hustle and the bustle and working and paying the light bill and getting the kids off, you know, we spend so little time with our significant other talking about the real issues of life. And those things are important because those things, knowing that individual is what's going to get us through the hard times. If we don't know them according to knowledge, when the adversary comes in, and he will come in. That's his job. That's his assignment, is to make our relationship as difficult as possible. And he's been winning with a lot of relationships. When you look at the divorce rate in our country, you know, secular and Christian alike, you know, the divorce rate is high. It's because people don't know each other. And, you know, they spend all these years together. And it just blows my mind away when you see a couple that's been together 20, 25, 30 years, and they're filing for divorce. And I'm thinking,
Amen.
My goodness.
Amen.
You know, what happened?
I know, right?
What did you all learn about each
yes.
other? You had this, you know, house full of kids, and you got a beautiful home, and you went through a mortgage, you took care of a mortgage, you got cars and everything. But what did you really know about your significant other, your husband or your wife? And that's what my prayer is tonight, is that, you know, God will open those doors of communication that may have been closed, that may have never been open, so that we can learn our husband and our wives in that special kind of way, so that we have that strength and that fortitude. And I want a relationship wherein, you know, you ever see these older couples and they start finishing each other's statement, or someone one gets ready to say something, and
yeah.
the other one finishes their statement. They know each other.
Yeah, you know what I'm getting ready to say?
What's that?
Hallelujah, amen. Can I get a prayer going?
That's what I'm talking about.
Amen.
And they know, those folks know each other. And it amazes me. You find a couple, and they've been married 65, 70 years, and you say, you know, what's the secret to your marriage? And they say, you know, hey, you know, we talk. You know,
amen.
She's
amen.
My best friend.
Yes.
He's my best friend.
2 minutes, babe.
Okay, but those things are important. And
love it.
Father God, I want to thank you for being so merciful and so full of grace, for looking down on us and touching us at our point of need, and ministering to our conversation so that we would keep it beneficial for the listeners today. And we ask that you would send your seed out, that it would be planted in the hearts and minds of those that heard us today, that it would germinate, and that they would use everything that they've heard in their everyday walk with their spouses. And I would that you would fortify them and strengthen them and give them everything they need, all the tools that they need in order to be successful. It's so easy to discard a relationship this day. You know, society has made it that way, where it's convenient, it's easy to walk away, whether they're kids or no kids. Society has made it so easy to do that. But I would that you would give individuals the staying power and have them make calculated decisions that I will not walk away. I'm going to stick to this. I'm going to stay true to this. I'm going to fight for my relationship, and that I won't let go no matter what. Father God, I ask all these things in your Son Jesus' holy and precious name.
Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you, babe. That was an awesome, wonderful prayer. Remember, tune in. I'm getting ready to go to a two-hour show starting June 6th, so you definitely don't want to miss out on the great music and the great guests that we're going to be having. You're listening to True Confessions of the Soul with the Church Girl and a special guest, Mr. Robert Watson. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.